Testing. One, two. Can you hear me? Okay. All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Please open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 7. We'll begin at verse 7. Quick word. What a great Sunday it was today. We had a baptism in the morning, and then we're going to have communion today. It's like, you can't tell me anything today. Today is awesome. Hallelujah. And then I love the song we just sang. When I was a little boy, my grandparents, my Lola and Lolo, grandpa, grandma, would stay with us for months. And my grandmother was a member of a Baptist church, the place where she brought me, and I became a Christian. I was baptized there. And when she had to leave the church because she was no longer coming back to America, she was getting old. She was asked to sing a special song because she was part of the choir. So I remember when she was preparing for that special song, throughout the week, she would be cleaning the house, you know, scrubbing the floors, doing the dishes, wiping things down, and she'd be singing, "This is my story. This is my song." And she's singing that throughout the whole house because she's rehearsing. And that's one of my favorite memories of my Lola, was her singing that song. And every time we sing that at church, which is rare, I'm reminded of my grandma. So thank you, Maria. Great song for that. So blessed memory, Francis Habakkuk. Okay, Matthew chapter 17, verse 7 through 14. Ah. Lomina, thank you. Sorry. Arigato. I'll read from verse 7, and please join me at verse 13. This is the words of Jesus. "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets." Let's read together. "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." The very words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, light of the world, fill our minds with your truth and our hearts with your love. We're not going to look very much at verse 13 and 14, though we read it. Preparing for this sermon, I sort of knew that I would not be speaking much on 13 and 14, but I thought we should still read it because, yeah, the more you read it, the better. So we'll probably read it again next week as we go through this. Today's meditation will be primarily on verses 7 through 12, excuse me, 7 through 11. And we'll focus on 12 through 14 next Sunday. So looking at 7 through 11, my initial thought was this. A stingy Christian is so annoying. A tight fisted Christian is very disappointing. A selfish Christian is an oxymoron. Because when you read this, everything from verse 7 to 11, you can't help but understand. When Jesus is teaching us, he's saying, open your hands. Open your wallets. How could you be so selfish? It's more than obvious here. And then many people will say, but Pastor Chris, isn't this about prayer? All right. You want to talk about prayer? We'll talk about prayer. Ask, seek, and knock. Right? Three modes of prayer. Asking, seeking, knocking. Very simple. Ask. God, can I have this? God, can you do this? Lord, can you make this happen? For us who are here in church, it's second nature. It's what we do. In fact, it's one of my favorite parts of the service. The long prayers are great prayers, because that's what this is for. This is a house of prayer for the nations. Now, what's necessary to ask is a simple thing. It's called humility. And for many people, that is a problem. Yeah. Just to get to the point where you can say, I can't think my way through this. I can't maneuver my way through this. I can't manipulate. I can't talk to people. I can't, you know, stay up all night and figure this. Nothing. There's no effort. There's no cleverness that is sufficient for you to get through all of life. Because every single person in here, no matter how educated, no matter how well off you are resource-wise, no matter how healthy you are, every single person in here is vulnerable for three things. One, financial catastrophe. You can't control those things. Two, health catastrophe. There's some things you can't control in your body. And number three, betrayal. There's some people you can't control. And so all of us are vulnerable to one of those things, maybe multiples of those things, maybe all three. And so you're going to be forced to humble yourself before God and say, God, I can't figure this out. I can't make this work. You have to humble yourself, because if you don't humble yourself, life will humble you. God will humble you. You don't want that. God is giving you a chance, an opportunity. Humble yourself before the Lord. Otherwise, the finances, the health, the relationships, they'll do all the work for you. And then you'll come to God with humility and learn to ask. That's one level. The second level is seek. All right? What is seeking? It's searching. It's looking for. It is the effort. Go back to the asking. You know what you need to repent of? In order to ask, you have to repent of your pride. So what do you have to repent of for seeking? You have to repent of your laziness. Chasten me, who am slothful and lustful. Repent of your lack of effort. You're not saved by your effort. You don't go to heaven by your works. God doesn't accept you because of your doryuk, right? But here Jesus says, seek! So you can Google him if you like, even now. I don't mind. There's a man named David Goggins. He's this recently famous athlete. And he's famous because he's a kind of motivational speaker where he used to be overweight and slow. But then through his determination, he became a high-level military operative, a Navy SEAL. And he's famous for his ability to overcome the most terrible physical obstacles. So they asked him one time, what's the longest you've run at one time, continuously? He said, the longest, I would say about 342 miles in, 17 hours, 25 hours, 342 miles at one time. How many marathons is that? I have no idea. But that's how much of an effort he can give. And so he takes pride in that. So I can't really share with you in the sermon because he's very foul-mouthed and very dirty. And so the things he'll say, I'll give you the church version. He'll say things like, oh, you idiot, you fat, lazy piece of junk, you're worthless. How could you have to, why, the reason why you can't do anything is because you're so stupid. Things like that, okay? That's the nice version. Now, here's the thing. He's talking to himself. That's how he talks to himself. And so somebody will ask him the question, David, what do you do when you wake up, it's dark at night, it's dark, it's cold, it's wet outside, and he smiles. He says, oh yeah, that's my gas, that's my fuel, because I know you're not going to go out and run. That's my advantage over you. You make excuses. I overcome them, right? That's his thing. I'm not David Goggins. I'm not the spiritual David Goggins. I'm not even close to that, okay? All I'm saying is, Jesus says, seek. Oh, you're going to ask? Fine. It's no problem. You can sit right there and ask. But Jesus also says, the kingdom of heaven is taken by force. Sometimes you have to force yourself to pray. Force yourself to get up. Force yourself to wake up. Force yourself to keep reading, keep seeking. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let my enemies not exult over me. None who wait on you shall be put to shame. And then Psalm 46, he says, why so downcast, O my soul? Why so depressed within me? Wait on the Lord. Take heart and wait on the Lord. It takes effort. You have to repent of your laziness because Jesus commands you, seek and you will find. Third level, knock. What's knocking? Knocking is waiting. Why do you knock? Well, you're waiting for someone to open the door. And when no one comes to open the door, what do? Knock some more. Knock some more. Wait some more. Right? How long, O Lord? How long? And so Jesus says, some of you, you have to repent of your impatience. You have to repent of your desire for instant answers, instant gratification. How long have you been waiting? How long have you been praying? A week? Maybe a month? A couple of months? Has it been years? And here's the thing. There's no one who loves you more than God. Yeah. So him not answering and him making you wait, that's the most loving thing he could be doing for you. And you're saying, Lord, I'm suffering. Lord, I'm dying. Lord, I'm shriveling. He says, that's because I love you. Yeah. Oh, I love you so much that I'm willing for you to die in your own strength. Right? And in this waiting, in this struggling, you're getting stronger. So this week, I this week, yeah, no, last week, I ordered a pull-up bar for my boys. You know what a pull-up bar is? It's like a bar you hang in your home, and then you try to do these things, right? Yeah, none of us can do one pull-up. We're all very weak, okay? Yeah, but that's okay. You all start that way. Everybody starts that way. So what are we doing? We're just grabbing the pole, and we're counting how long we can hang there. That's all we're doing, right? I can do 15 seconds. That's it. Yeah, I can hang. Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, and my son, because he wants to be better than his dad, he'll go 30 seconds, you know. Yeah, he's just hanging there. And I'm just like, you know. Ah, yeah. Just, you got one too? Okay, I'm not going to, you're a Marine, so I know you can, that's what you do, right? Yeah. What am I talking about? Prayer. Yeah. So, yeah. So, yeah. That's perseverance. Is just how long can you hang on? And so David Goggins, he has this saying. He says, when you feel like you're at 0% and you can no longer persevere, you can no longer keep going, he says, actually, you have another 30 or 40%. Yeah. Now, I don't know about that. He can say that because he's done it again and again. He's overcome all of his, you know, physical weaknesses. And so he knows. And so, okay, all right. I actually had 5 seconds on that thing, but because of David Goggins, I went 15. yeah. And God knows. Yeah, you've been praying 1 month, 2 years. He knows how much you can wait. He knows how much more you feel like you're at negative 10%, negative, you know, 20%. He knows, oh, you have a little bit more to go. And because of his love, well, you know, he loves you. Why? Because he's your father, right? So we're taught about 3 modes of prayer, but we're also taught about the wisdom of our Heavenly Father. So we go to verse 9. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? So I'm thinking, Jesus, what are you, stones and snakes, bread and fish. Ah, bread and fish. We've been there. We know that story. Bread and fish. No, yeah. Stones and snakes. And I'm thinking, I get it. Maybe I get it. I don't know. This is just an idea, but how many of us think we're asking for bread when truly what we're asking for is just stones? We're asking God for something. We're seeking and we're knocking because we think we need this. This is bread. This will sustain me. This will satisfy. This will feed me. This will provide. And God is saying, my son, this is as useless as a stone. You want this job? You want this opportunity? You want this relationship? You think it's a fish. That relationship is a snake. That will bite you and kill you. And because I love you, I'm going to give you an actual fish and real bread. Because I'm your father and I love you. Okay, so as you know, I'm not qualified to talk about physical exercise or endurance. I am a little bit qualified to talk about fatherhood. Just a little bit. Okay? I know a little bit something about having children, okay? And when my children, there's things that my children will ask for. Dad, you know, all of our friends, they have video games. They have Sony and Nintendo, whatever, you know. And Dad, you know, we can't have a conversation because, you know, we don't have video games. So what? We're different. But Dad, you know, it's like, you know, I mean, we could download. We have, you know, the phone and we have an iPad. We could download, you know, we could download. It's not that expensive. It's not about money. It's not about resources. It's about what you need, and it's about who we are. Right? And you multiply that conversation 6 times. Yeah. Right. Now, think of your Heavenly Father multiplying that by how many billion, right? Yeah. So we repent of our foolishness. Okay? So we're repenting of our pride. We're repenting of our laziness. We're repenting of our impatience. And we're repenting of our foolishness. And we say, Lord Jesus Christ, light of the world, enlighten my darkness. Purify me who am defiled. Cleanse me who am stained. Humble me who am proud and arrogant. Chasten me who am slothful and lustful. Teach me who am dumb. In your steadfast love, give me life that I may keep the testimonies of your mouth. We repent. That's the gift. That's the good and perfect gift. If God is going to give us any gift, it's the struggle that allows us to repent. You do not have because you do not ask God, says the brother of Jesus. But when you do ask, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask the wrong motives. Your pride, your laziness, your impatience, your foolishness, and that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. And so he gives us the trials, the testing, the waiting, the difficulty, the struggle to strip off the foolishness, to throw away the pride, to cast off the selfish ambition. Because he loves us, every good and perfect gift. Okay, final point. Now can I talk about generosity? We've talked about prayer. We good? Let's go with what I really think Jesus is talking about. If you then, you though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? God is a giver. Our God is a giver. For God so loved the world that he gave. He didn't give 10%. He didn't give a portion. He gave everything. Amen. Yeah. So let me take a just 2 minutes. We're going to go a little bit of a detour, okay? But we're going to get to the same point. Let's put down generosity and money and finances and hospitality. We'll just put that aside. And let me talk about worship for a second, okay? Because I think this is a kind of parallel. You know, we have this beautiful music system here. There are some Christian denominations who don't use instruments. No guitars, no piano, no drums. They believe that, you know, they're evil, okay? Not only denominations, Protestants, but there are traditions that believe, you know, God gave humans the voice alone to praise him. And so that's the instrument. And so none of this, it's just their voices. It's chanting, it's, you know, singing the Psalms. That's all they do at church. Could you imagine coming to church? Not even a piano, right? And here we have, we've had saxophones and clarinets. We've had a fiddler. We had a professional jazz drummer once making sounds with the drums I didn't know they could make. Amazing things. We've had amazing drummers that just bang and wail and just amazing, awesome, and powerful. Piano players that just... And I love it. The louder they play, the louder we can sing, and the more we can dance. And the reason why I have to sit in the front is because if I sit in the back and I see people were singing some upbeat song, this is Amazing Grace, and people are just, this is amazing love, you lay down your life. You know, I'm just like, don't you know what Jesus did for you? You do know Jesus is alive. You do know that he's seated at the right hand of the Father. You do know you have the Holy Spirit, right? I'm not going to judge anybody. I'm not here to do that, okay? That was last week's sermon, okay? That's why I have to sit in the front. I need to sit in the front because at least I could hear some people in the back singing. That will help me. But if I see somebody in the back and they're just like, just like, ugh. And I'm like, we have everything through Christ Jesus. Like, at least open up a hand. At least, right? I think that's what God sees when we are giving. I know what to give you. Not bread, not stones, but bread, not snakes, but fish. I know exactly what to give you. Ask, I'll give it to you. Seek, come on, we're going to find it. Knock, just give me a minute, I'll get right to you. I'm never late, but I'm right on time. I'm always on time. I'm going to give you everything. Peter says it in 1 Peter. We have every spiritual blessing in heaven. We have everything we need for a godly life. I've given you everything. How could you be so selfish? How could you be so stingy? I didn't bring it with me, but some of you, if you have you have this habit, especially probably some of the men. If you open up the wallet, you have cash and you have cards and you have receipts. Right? If God were to look at your receipts, would he know that you're a Christian? Don't tell me what you believe and how often you go to church and what blogs you read and what YouTube videos you like to look at and what songs you say. Tell me how much you give. Because that is a Christian. It says it right there. Check your receipts. God is looking. Don't be stingy. Be generous. So we said it last week. I think I said it a couple of weeks ago. In the first century, the Romans looked at the Christians and said, these people, they're so stingy with their bodies and so liberal with their money. We Romans, we're liberal with our bodies and we're stingy with our money. It's been 2,000 years, and I feel like we've circled back around. Some Christians, they're too liberal with certain things and too stingy with some things. But repent. Repent of your stinginess and your selfishness and receive the gospel that God has given you everything. Open your hands. Open your hands. Christ has given his body. Christ has given his blood. You can give a few yen. You can give a few dollars. So now we're going to go into communion. As we do that, let's take a moment and meditate in prayer on the word of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Oh, Heavenly Father, forgive us for our pride, our laziness, our foolishness, our greed. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For I wait for you all day long. Open up my heart. Open up my wallet, O Lord. And let me follow you each day. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.